We're speaking with Diane Shamish of Minetta Brook about her organization's 2-year display of commissioned art at 10 outdoor locations along an 80-mile stretch of the Hudson River between Bear Mountain and Albany. To learn more about anything you hear on this program, visit us at www.hudsonriver.vassar.edu. Coming up on the Hudson River, a bridge worker suspended high above the water comes face to face with a hungry peregrine falcon. We'll also hear a recording of the river as it flows through the Adirondacks, and more. Next, we'll continue with our interview of Shamish. She'll tell us about two of the more sonic components of Minetta Brook's art projects: Will Welling's recordings of old farm machinery of the Hudson Valley, and Constance DeJong's Talking Riverfront Benches in Beacon.
Well, Jim Welling's work is really a multidisciplinary piece that is about agriculture in the Hudson Valley. And Jim Welling is really a conceptual photographer whose work has dealt both with issues of representation and abstraction. And it's interesting, he immediately chose agriculture as his subject and wanted to photograph all aspects of agriculture, from, you know, the farms themselves and all the planting methodologies and techniques and what the land actually looked like, to crop art and machinery. And one aspect of the work will be a book. He's also collaborating with his brother, who is a musician and sound artist, who works with producing new sound with farm implements.
I have recorded some sounds of working tractors and working gasoline engines from Hudson River farms, or in the hands of Hudson River people, basically collectors, maybe not farmers anymore today. Well, I'll probably include a small sampling of the sounds of a John Deere tractor, a Model B, which was a very common tractor in the Hudson Valley in the 1940s and 50s, and it's still being used today. It has a distinctive sound. It's a two-cylinder engine. It makes a specific kind of distinctive sound. And sounds of an engine that was commonly used on farm pumps, generators, walk-behind tractors. These walk-behinds were used in victory gardens and family plot gardens, and even in community gardens, you know, right up to the present. So the sound of that single-cylinder engine loping away is a distinctive sound, and one that makes a music of its own.
CD that accompanies the book. There will probably be a performance that also accompanies the work, as well as a body of photographs, probably 50 or 60 photographs that will be exhibited in the region. So it's a kind of a multifaceted project. Constance DeJong is doing a really significant sound work, which involves sound-equipped benches. She is a writer and performance artist who has worked collaboratively with, for example, Philip Glass on his opera Satyagraha. Her work for Beacon is a project where she is interviewing all the different people who've been connected to the site of a project, which is Madambrett Park, where there used to be a cotton and grist mill and a textile factory. And then the people's voices will become the sound material. Her voice will also, she's writing a piece, a fiction related to the site. And then language itself will become a soundtrack for the work. And so as you sit down on these benches, these stories will emerge. They'll be mixed in such a way that you can never hear them in the same sequence.
The land belonged to Catherine Rambaud Brett. Madambrett Park should be named Rambaud-Brett Ecological Sanctuary.
To me, it would be very silly to simply stick a sculpture, you know, or an object into the environment and say, look at that, as if one were standing in a museum or a gallery. But the challenge for me has been to find a form that fits into the context of the site, of course in terms of the subject matter, but also in terms of the form. So benches are often a part of a park situation. And certainly sitting beside water and rivers is an experience that people have had and that makes a certain obvious sense.
Water becomes a hat.
The very first hat factory was right down in the creek.
Dust and the fabric was always flying because there was always doing something, spinning or something in there.
But prior to that, I could remember my father loading up his wagon with produce.
Corn and strawberries. My grandfather had a garden.
It was all wild. You were in touch with the earth every day.
Where we come from, we mainly live outdoors.
Oh, yeah. We lived on the earth.
It's reported that in these United States, there's only one city named Beacon. About 1800, some took up residence in a mill village near Fishkill Creek called Mattawan. I guess we can say the founder of Dutchess County is a woman named Catherine Rambaud Brett.
We have these 10 projects that are all over the valley, and they are supported by an internship program, and we're working with 6 colleges and universities in the region. We have a journal which is coming out every year to help profile the artists and the projects and the issues of the region, and you'll be able to find driving tours and walking tours and how to get there. An important part of the program is you know, the artworks itself, but also to really try to get people to engage the Hudson Valley, to get people up from New York City who've never been there, to bring people from other parts of the world, to bring people from the Hudson Valley who might never have come to Beacon. One of the great challenges is to get the word out and to get people really involved. We hope this is a pilot program, which is going to occur over a 3-year period, but we very much want to continue this as a long-term project that would occur after the 3 years that would occur each year. So that's what we're working towards.
From the Almanac, August 14, 2000, Poughkeepsie, Hudson River Mile, 76. As part of the climbing team that attaches navigation lights to the Poughkeepsie Railroad Bridge, I was descending from the top with my rope rigging and lights in my pack to the bottom pier. I reached the bottom with the usual rush of uncertainty and risk, and immediately saw a fresh pigeon carcass. I radioed Eric de Rivera on top that I had interrupted something's breakfast. As I set the lights, I heard a screech from above, but saw nothing. These cries continued as I finished my work and began my ascent. At the 100-foot mark, I saw the creature, a peregrine falcon looking directly at me. I climbed around the column to avoid the bird's stare, but the bird moved as well. Even though I wore a helmet, I picked up the pace considerably. The climb was challenging enough without the addition of an angry raptor. On my next visit to the bridge in October, I did not see the falcon, but I knew he had been there. There was an extensive collection of pigeon feet. This observation was contributed by Cal Rankin. I'm Batsheva Ghez.
The Hudson River Almanac is an annual natural history journal compiled from the contributions of over 1,700 volunteers. Links on how to contribute materials or obtain copies are at www.hudsonriver.vassar.edu.
Time for the Hudson River Eco Calendar. I'm Jen Logan. The Hudson Riverama is a new permanent exhibition at the Hudson River Museum in Yonkers. The 2,500-square-foot installation features recreations of forest, marsh, and estuary ecosystems, live fish, interactive computers, videos, and a 31-foot-long, three-dimensional topographic model of the river valley. An associated 45-minute planetarium show joins two families on an Adirondack hiking trip as they learn about the Hudson's flora and fauna. For more information, call 914-963-4550. That's 914-963-4550. But if you feel like actually getting out on the river, the Hudson River National Estuarine Research Reserve is sponsoring a series of canoe trips to some of the river's biggest marshes in New York State. These include Stockport Flats, a mosaic of islands and coves in Columbia County, Iona Island, nestled at the base of Bear Mountain in Rockland County, Tivoli Bay, and extensive marshes in Dutchess County. Trips include paddles devoted to learning about fish or history, and even an evening paddle. Trips are free and open to the public, though reservations are required. And you needn't have your own boat, as canoes, paddles, and safety gear are all provided. For more information, call the Hudson River National Estuarine Research Reserve at 845-758-7016. That's 845-758-7016. And speaking of boats, here's the big festival behind Sloop Clearwater, the Hudson's most famous sailing ship and the brainchild of Pete Seeger. Clearwater's Great Hudson River Revival, a riverfront music and environmental festival for all ages at Croton Point Park in Westchester County, New York, takes place on Saturday and Sunday, June 21st and 22nd, from 10 a.m. until dusk. The Clearwater Festival is a wide-ranging feast for the ear and eye on seven stages, which are completely powered by sustainable energy. Performers are set to include Marshall Crenshaw, NRBQ, Marsha Ball Band, Mose Allison Quartet, Patty Larkin, Jill Sobule, Alvin Youngblood Hart, N-Train, the Tony Trischka Band, and dozens more. There's also participatory dancing and juggling, storytellers, crafts, and food. And if you live in New York City, you don't need your car to get to the festival, courtesy of Metro North Railroad. The Clearwater Festival is also accessible for people with disabilities. For more information, call 1-800-67-SLOOP. That's 1-800-67-SLOOP.
Next week, we speak with the leader of the Bald Eagle Recovery Program in New York. We listen in as he climbs 98 feet up a tree to band a young eaglet. And we talk to the leader of Perfect Thyroid about The General, a song that rallied college students and others to get more involved in Hudson River issues. All this and more on the Hudson River. On this week's Hudson River Soundscape, we hear an outtake that never made it onto Anaya Lockwood's recording, A Sound Map of the Hudson. She takes us to the Lower Twin Brook, a tributary of the Hudson near the Adirondack High Peak of Mount Marcy. Thank you. The Hudson River Radio program is produced in association with Vassar College, its Environmental Studies program, and its Journalism Forum. Our student assistant producers are digital editor Sean Anderson and researcher and editor Batsheva Ghez. Professor Randy Cornelius is the project director. I'm your host, Mark Breslov, producer and project manager. This project has been funded in part by a grant from the New York State Environmental Protection Fund through the Hudson River Estuary Program. Special thanks to Fran Dunwell and Steve Stan of the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. Additional support for this program comes from Vassar College, with thanks to Susan Kuiper. Thanks also to Steve Rath. To listen to this program again or for more information, visit www.hudsonriver.vassar.edu. Email us at hudsonriver@vassar.edu.
Stars, and I was not far.